Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Soccer Matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. As always, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. And so glad to have Andrew Carlson, back here after the great run with Aaron Raybould. And you know what? An Arsenal fan, it's kind of tough for me sometimes because I do get a little down when I see Andrew down based on what's going on with Arsenal. But we will fight our way through it. We will stay optimistic. All right, next interview is going to be brought to you by the one and only Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. My friends down there, Justin, Steven, they got you covered. Sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. You get in the sedan. 3, 5, 7 series. Maybe you want to get in an X5. Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, tonight I'm going to air this interview from Danny Pereira of Austin FC. He played at Virginia Tech, but he's a rookie. And he's come in and he's had some very, very good moments. I thought this was interesting because it parallels the goal-scoring problems Austin FC has with the Houston Dynamo. Here's Danny Pereira of Austin FC. Danny, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, very much appreciated. Danny, so a couple of things I want to do with you this segment. I want to just talk a little bit about your history and your growth in the game, and then we'll get into Austin FC and some of the things that are going on there. Let's just start with Virginia Tech and how important it was, the college game for you and in shaping where you are now.
Well, I only played high school soccer, so I didn't really have a base of like growing. The club I played for wasn't the best, but it got me to Tech, and then at Tech it was just a top level. You know, ACC is I think is the best conference for soccer. The program as well taught me a lot, like just be responsible and just disciplined. And I think I brought that to Austin FC, and I keep building that up every day.
How about the confidence that Josh Wolf has given you in this first year? I mean, you have played a good number of minutes. It's a lot of confidence that he's given you to play around players like Alex Ring and Tomas Pochettino.
Yeah, he told me when I first talked to him, he told me that no matter how old you are, if you're the best in training, the best, if you're giving 100%, no matter how old you are, you're going to play for me. And I think that's all I needed to hear. I just needed confidence from him and my teammates. And he has big expectations for me, you know. So I know that, and I just try to give my best to him all the time. And he sees it. So, yeah.
Danny, how competitive is it every day in training, day in and day out?
It's real competitive, you know. This is not college soccer. This is a job. Every guy on the team plays for a living. Plays for a spot in the 11. And, yeah, I mean, every training and stuff, there's no easy day here, which I love. I love the competitiveness, and I love how close the team is. You know, even though only 11 can start, we're all one big family, and we know that.
How have your training habits maybe changed from the college game to now? And it's happened really quick. I mean, I think when people saw you drafted as high as you went, people knew that you were going to go high. But people that watched you in college knew that you were one of these college players that you're kind of like, okay, yeah, he's going to make the adjustment to MLS quite fine. How have your training habits maybe changed since you've gotten to the MLS level in Austin FC?
They're a lot tougher, you know, in your body. College soccer is only like 4 months long, 3 months. Here is all year round and pretty much, and it's just a lot harder. But it's an adjustment that I've been working on it, and I'm still going to work on it for like the next couple of years. It's been tough, but it's just I love soccer, so it's just not going.
Daddy, take us into maybe some of the specifics. I mean, how much is about the changing of your diet now, the monitoring of the medical staff? I mean, you're probably experiencing things you never got in the college game. Take us there, because have you changed any of your habits now to adjust to MLS?
Yeah. Before in college, I didn't eat how an athlete's supposed to. My diet was pretty bad. But here, if you don't take care of your body, you're not going to last. So I realized that a month ago, since I've gotten hurt twice. And that's why they tell me, you got to take care of your body. Training is all year long, pretty much. And if you want to last, you gotta take care of your body. And that's what I've been trying to do. I started to eat vegetables like 3 months ago, fruits. But yeah, it's a big change, but it's a change that it's the best for me. Just tries to help me. So,
Danny Pereira joining us. Played his college soccer at Virginia Tech. Outstanding draft choice by Austin FC. Already in year one, getting a lot of minutes here. He started 8 games, appeared in 12. He has fought through some injuries as well. He's got a 93% pass possession stat, which is pretty confident. Now, I noticed in the last game against RSL, you didn't seem to come out of midfield as much with the ball at your feet. And I always love that thread about you, that you're capable of picking a ball up and running at people and breaking somebody down off the dribble and then drawing somebody to you. Was there a reason for that?
There was a couple of reasons. One was I had a guy in my back all the time who didn't really let me turn. I dribbled him a couple of times, but then I would find another guy, so I had to get rid of the ball. Now I would lose it. And also the game plan was to hit diagonals from midfield to our wingers, so mm-hmm. or our fullbacks, and that was just – every game is different, so I'll say that.
Yeah, are you asked to do things a lot differently than in college? In other words, specifics like that. You know, maybe one game Josh Wolf says, look, I want you to sit deeper and I want you to, look to be more positive about hitting progressive balls at angles. Does it change a lot, I guess, is what I'm saying? Because I think in college it's basically Danny Pereira's going to go out there and he's going to make things happen. Now at the pro level, you may get more specifics potentially.
Yeah, college was my coach in college gave me the keys to do whatever I wanted, which I love, but this is process is different level. It's more tactical, more possession, more. It has a structure, So it's something I realized so quick that it caught my eye so quick that I was like, sheesh, this is crazy. You just got to play your role and believe in your teammates that they're going to do their role. So it's been good. Josh has the confidence on me, and he tells me every day. Yeah, it's just a lot different.
Danny Pereira joining us here, Austin FC midfielder, year one of Major League Soccer, has shown some wonderful glimpses of wonderful future potential here. All right, let's get into the current situation with the team now. It has been a struggle. It's been a struggle to score goals. Where are you guys morale-wise, and where are you guys mentally as a team?
I'll say it's expected for an expansion team. We never play with each other. I know we have 6 months together, 7 months. It's frustrating, like what team doesn't like not scoring? Like we want to score. That's what we want to do. We want to win games. And it's frustrating that we don't get the goals. We get a lot of opportunities, but we don't have that final step to make it happen. But you see in games that once we get the first one, we get the second one, we get the third. So it's always the first crack that kills us. So we're working, we know the fans might be frustrated. We're all frustrated, but, we just gotta keep working. We can't let our heads down. We just gotta support each other and keep working.
You guys are, I've said this over and over. You guys are a wonderful team to watch move the ball. You are a very good possession team. You're one of the best possession teams in the league. You're talking about that final execution. What do you think it is? Is it movement? Is it mobility? Is it execution? I mean, is it confidence? it's always hard to finger these things, and we don't want to be over analytical about it. But it is no fun scoring goals. And at the end of the day, that's what this game is about. And you're not the only team, by the way. That's the only team scoring the whole. There's one that's very close to you down the road in Houston. So you're not the only team struggling to score goals. But what do you think it really is if you put your finger on it as someone who's really in it and not on the outside like all of us?
It's from the front six, you know. We always have, like, the good balls, but we never have the runners. When we do have the runners, we don't have the balls, like the good balls inside, like crosses. It's just, if there's something missing, you know, like it's never both. It's never a good cross or a good pass, or it's never a good run. So, and we don't have that desire to score. So it's frustrating, but we're working on it. Trust me, we're working on it. And, but yeah, I think that's what it is for me. We control every game. We have most of the possession every game, which is what I love. I love having a possessional game, and which is once we get that first grab, we're gonna get goals. So we're working on it.
Yeah, no, I know you are. I know you are. So let's go to the coaches. How are the coaches, you know, kind of handling you guys? Because you know this is Joshua Wolf's first run as a head coach. He's got an extensive coaching background. How are they working with you guys from the confidence standpoint? I mean, it's got to be more than just, hey, let's just keep going at it, guys, and keep working hard. Yes, that's part of it, but it's got to be a little bit more than that, right?
Yeah. At least last game, you know, we were so unlucky. We hit the post like twice, I think. We went a man down in a dumb red car. It's just, and then with 10 men, one man down, we were still playing like we had 11, 12. Like we were playing, we still possessed the game the whole second half. Like it was just, like coach sees the commitment we have and how bad we want to win, but we just can't get that crack in. So, but it comes from the front six, you know, about all making the runs, all making the good cross, all being there. We just got to start attacking as a,
well, Danny, I thank you for coming on and being so very open about this. This is a great listen for Austin FC fans, and you're a talented player. Thank you very much for coming on tonight. Continued success, and let's hope those goals will start raining in here soon, and let's start it with Vancouver on Wednesday night. How about that?
Yes, sir, will do. Thank you, guys.
All right, so that's Danny Pereira from Austin FC, and some real good insight there from a guy that is a rookie and a very, very talented college player, got picked high in the draft, and Austin FC expecting more from him in the future. Quick word here for Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. You get over there, 18 TVs, big screens. They're going to show all the Premier League games for you. We did our live shows out there during the Euros. Absolutely great time. Get out there and see David, Peter, Goose. It is Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Freeway. Stay with us. Quick reminder, tomorrow night, Houston Dynamo on the road at RSL. Catch that game on Channel 55. Also, the Houston Dash playing in the ICC against the Portland Thorns. All right, we'll take a break. More to come.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 tonight. As we all know, the Olympics going on this summer, Canada winning gold. Our next guest is a special one. The next guest is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. All you have to do is go to DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, getting soccer on the airwaves and giving us the opportunity to interview Houston Dash midfielder, Canadian gold medalist, Sophie Schmidt, who joins us now. Sophie, thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Thank you, Glenn, for having me on.
Well, I got to think there's probably been a few media requests for you the last couple of days.
Yeah, just a bit. I mean, it's tough, though, being in the U.S. and all the hype is going on in Canada. So missing out on that. But it's great to see my teammates in the spotlight.
Yeah. So and yourself, by the way. And you've always been to me a very, very humble player. A lot of humility for somebody that's played over 200 professional games. All the games that you've played for both Canada and professionally in different countries. Now, what does this mean to you at this point of your career? To win gold. You guys have come close. You've won bronze before. You've been to a number of Olympics, but to finally take the prize home.
Oh my gosh. Listening to you say all those things, it gets me a bit emotional. It's been a long journey, and to look back at the beginning and to see how far we've come. There's a group of us, the core, like that is slowly starting to fade away from our national team. But from the onset, we've just always wanted to change soccer in Canada and leave it better than when we found it. And just to know that that's happening and that has happened, and to see the young kids on the scene now and the opportunities that lay ahead for them, it's pretty special. And the job's not done, but yeah, it's pretty remarkable to be able to say something at the onset and then to go out and achieve it and just to make all Canadians proud. It's pretty phenomenal.
By the way, that was 200 plus appearances for Canada. So if I take you back to that first one when you were a young budding soccer player, can you remember that day and who it was against and everything very vividly? Because we're 200 plus into this now.
Yeah, I think so. Unless I'm remembering the wrong game, but we were in Europe playing against Holland. I believe I was playing outside back or center back, and I was playing beside Charmaine Hooper. It was pouring rain. It was just an ugly game, but you know, we rolled up. That was the Canadian way. We rolled up our sleeves. We were there for the fight. And it's been pretty special to see how far we've come in terms of soccer. But yeah, that first one was amazing. Just the people I was playing with, the Charmaine Hoopers, the Andrew Neal, Sinky was there. And yeah, it was the start of something phenomenal. And I didn't know it then. And I've cherished every moment since.
Gold medal winner, Sophie Schmidt, joining us here on Soccer Matters. The names you just mentioned there, Charmaine Hooper, I remember her. And your lens has taken you through a lot of generations of players. A lot have come and gone. And a lot of that is very heartbreaking sometimes for your teammates that don't end up sticking like you have. What's your secret been? I mean, 200 plus games. I think I can announce here that you're a damn good soccer player, but I would have to say there's some other secrets there.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not sure. Like looking back, I'm like, how are some of these people, like how did they not do more or last longer? And for me, maybe it's the fact that I'm not very fast. So like physically, like my body has, I find that if you're really fast, you're like, you got problems physically, like hamstrings, there's always little niggles. But for me, luckily, I've been able to be injury free most of my career. So there's a testament to that, the people that have worked along with me and in terms of getting my body right. And then I don't know. It's just the love for the game. The passion for the game has never dwindled for me. It's always been a fire. It's always been my outlet. It's the thing I go to. And that's still how it is. I don't think I would be playing if I wasn't passionate and still in love with the game. And I think that's a huge part of it.
Sophie Schmidt joining us here. She's out in Portland for the ICC tomorrow, the Houston Dash, 10 o'clock Central Time on ESPN2. We'll take on Portland, and then Olympic Lyon will take on Barcelona. All right. And we're going to get back, trust me, to the gold medal and Canada. But I think it's awesome that you guys are in this tournament and to see the mix of international competition with the names like Lyon and Barcelona.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. What a tournament to be part of in the U.S., in Portland, soccer-hungry city, as is Houston. And just to have these big names, big teams, just eyes on women's soccer. I think it's a great tournament. And yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, so you get back to Canada. Just the reaction, I want to get some of the personal reaction of your family and the pride the Canadians have for what you women did and in winning the gold. How about a little bit on that? And any good little story that you might have about just how everybody's sharing the success? I noticed Julia Grosso is sharing it with her college team. All of you just seem so wonderfully gifted in that you want everybody else to be a part of this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, I haven't gone back home yet. I know that they're just, you know, waiting for it. I think they're going to have to wait a bit longer. But like me and my husband have done distance for ages. So I thought it was important to get back to him, Houston. So there's that. But no, the family is just like so happy. And I think the way it ended with the gold was just amazing for them to just be able to cheer and have something like to go crazy about. But the Canadians, you know, this has been a long journey for them too. I think a lot of them are, especially with the U.S. history there in that semifinal game and the agony and heartbreak that they went through with us. And so to come home and bring gold, everyone's just like, you know, they won it with us. And it's so cool to hear the stories and just the amount of joy and inspiration it brings to the little ones, but also to the adults to still pursue dreams and dream big and get after things that they want to do in life. And I think that's the beauty of it, is just to never give up and continue to grow.
Sophie Schmidt joining us. Okay, semifinals, the 1-0 win over the United States. This is monstrous, okay? I'm going to sit here and make a couple observations, and I want you to react to this. You got to get tired of hearing about the U.S. women's national team and their success. Now, I would also say, if you believe me on this one, weren't they a great bar to help you in this relationship, the U.S. women's national team in Canada? But I would just think this is just such an amazing moment to finally get to the pinnacle. So maybe just touch on the U.S. Relationship, the fact that you knocked them off in this tournament, and kind of what it means to you with over 200 caps.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. has just been phenomenal year in, year out for so long. They've been number one for ages. They're our neighbors. They're our rivals. I think we hate them more than they hate us, because we always lose to them. So that's always a struggle. But I think it's been great for our development as a country, is that they're the bar. They were right there. We've played them so often. It's a good measuring stick. And for my entire career, so 200 plus games, never beaten them. So that was the first time that's happened. And then to do it in the fashion and in the tournament and in the moment that it did, it was just like almost unbelievable. We were like pinching ourselves on the field. Like that game, we were like, oh my gosh, we did it. And it was like, no, we still have one more game to go. Like that was almost a pinnacle in and of itself. And so it was definitely special. And I think the U.S. has just like helped push us, because they've been so great and set the standard so high for so long that it's kind of motivated us to keep getting after it and find new ways and challenges and to get there.
All right. So you get into the finals against Sweden, you know, and I'm watching the penalty kicks. When they have the opportunity to win it the couple times that they did, I mean, what's going through your minds emotionally? Because I mean, it was just remarkable, really, the whole thing.
Yeah, it was. Oddly, we knew that we were going to win. That's strange to say, and it's easy to say in hindsight, but in the moment, we like every day we did penalty shootouts, like the full thing with walking up, all players take a PK. And there was, we had a huge meeting and breakdown of like psychology of PKs and like percentages of shooting, and like the goalkeepers had their own thing. And so we were so prepared for that penalty shootout. And Steph was just unbelievable that tournament. So everyone had the world of confidence in her. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, I think heading into the tournament, our goal was to change the color of the medal. So at that point, we'd done that. And so there was no pressure. I mean, obviously we wanted to win gold, but at the same time, like all the players, from what I heard before the game, was just, there was no pressure on them. Like, so I think everyone was light, bright and clear heading into that. I think obviously you get so nervous. I can't even imagine what Julia Grossa must have been feeling on that PK, but yeah, it was pretty special. But I think there was just like a calm about us. We knew that we were going to win.
So you had that great, the NWSL Challenge Cup. You had that wonderful, I thought you were one of the players that turned that around once you got into the knockout stages for the Dash to ultimately win that. When you take penalties, because you're getting so much data now, it's a little different than when I played. You just went up there and you picked the corner and you tried to put it there. There's so much data out there. Can the data sometimes sway you to maybe overthink it? Like if you're monitoring goalkeepers, okay, she likes to go to her right. I mean, it ends up still in a way being a bit of a guessing game at the end of it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's a bit of a mind game as well, because the goalkeeper knows which way you're kicking most often. And so I think at the end of the day, it still kind of comes down to picking your spot and making sure it gets there, unless you react off the keeper. But for me, it's all about just like my mom in university. She thought I was going to get a yellow card because I took so long, because I took like two deep breaths, and she was like, "Oh my god, it took forever." But that was like,
just because she wanted you to get, she wanted to get it over with, because she was probably nervous.
100%. But it's like the longer you wait, some people say the advantage goes to the keeper, some to you. It's just like percentages of shot high and low. It's just crazy. But for me, at the end of the day, it's just like being calm and just kind of picking your spot and then just going with it. But I don't want to give away my secrets. So.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that at all. We're talking to Sophie Schmidt. By the way, you do realize now that you are with U.S., Norway, and Germany as the only prior winners of gold in the Olympics. Did you know that? You're one of only four teams to ever do that.
That's pretty incredible.
That's pretty incredible. Listen
Canada.
To this.
Canada, yeah, out of all people.
U.S., Norway, Germany, and Canada now. How do you think this can be an impetus in, you know, youth development in the women's game in Canada now? I would have to think there's going to be some tremendous reaction to this, maybe additional resources. You just raised the bar in a big way and you want to keep it up there.
100%. I think you saw the results of 2012 in that Olympics and that performance, how it impacted players like Ashley Lawrence, Jessie Fleming, Julia Grosso. Like, they may not have been where they are today if it weren't for that. And so now it's only going to raise the bar even higher. And for us, it's the mind-blowing thing is that Canada is one of the top nations. Right now, we've just won gold, and we don't have a league. We don't even have a team in a league. There's nothing there for our players to, like, go. So many good quality players fall through the cracks because there's nothing set up for them. And so I think that's a big push for us as players, you know, to make sure that our voices are heard and that that's something we need if we want to continue and sustain us being at the top of the game in the world, is that there's got to be a bit more of a support system underneath us instead of it just being random luck that players make it. It's more, you know, yeah.
And the goal is a lot of times going to a U.S. college or university like you. I mean, you went to a great program in Portland, albeit it's closer to Canada than most places. But, you know, I mean, why not have something goal oriented in the country, whether it's a professional league at some level or NWSL franchise? I don't know. Help me on this.
Yeah, no, 100%. Both of those. A team in, having a league of our own, it's a bit more challenging, but definitely having an NWSL franchise involved somehow. I mean, that's the reason why I left Germany. I was playing in Frankfurt. I left Germany because the Whitecaps apparently were like 99% in for like having a team, and then it all fell through. And so I had to join the US team. But like, oh, it would just be phenomenal. And Canadians would eat it up, like from a fan basis, but also just, it would just inspire girls so much more. They'd be like, oh, there's actually something tangible in the country that they can aim for and dream for.
You probably think Vancouver would be the one that could lead the way on that, because I know it had such a great youth setup with so many of you coming through there. Why was that such a good youth setup? And so many players came out of the Vancouver Whitecaps youth.
Yeah, it was Vancouver, and I think Ottawa Fury was another one. There was a couple of places, but Vancouver was just a hotspot. I think everybody wanted to be in Vancouver, but it was like the summer league. It was people who were in high school and college. They'd come home, come back to Canada. It gave a great environment to train and play with national team players or developing players of all ages. And it was just like, yeah, we got to develop and it was fun. Like, we loved being around each other. And it was, yeah, I think most of the big names came from playing in those two teams during the summer. And there isn't that now. And so I think it's a bit of a chance game, and we're kind of playing a little bit of roulette for the future.
She's midfielder Sophie Schmidt. She's a gold medal winner with Canada. They do it in the Tokyo Olympics. It is the first major tournament title for Canada. They've come very, very close on many occasions, and they finally get it done. And by the way, they do it knocking out Brazil, knocking out the U.S., and then Sweden in the final. That's a pretty good trio of teams right there, Sophie.
It is. You got to beat them at some point to get to the top. So,
all right. So, you know, tell me about your future. I mean, you're still fit. Like you told me, you don't get injured a lot. You got remarkable experience on the field to solve problems and play the game. You know, what's the future look like for you?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I've still got 2 years left on my Houston contract. I'm really enjoying soccer there and everything that's happening with the women's football in Houston and in the league. And so still committed to that. From the national team perspective, I don't know. I'd love to keep playing. The World Cup 2023 in Australia, New Zealand looks very appealing. Whether or not I can make that team and physically still compete at that level, we'll see. We'll see what Bev has in store. This tournament, you know, I didn't play a lot, didn't dress a lot. And so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm still hungry, still love it. Still want to keep going for now. And if things change, things change. But right now I'm still all in. I'm basking in the moment of the gold and just enjoying the ride for now.
Okay. So I look at you and there's just something in me that says She's not going to leave the game. I mean, when your career playing the game is over, my gut tells me you're going to remain in it. Is my gut correct?
Yes. I don't know in what capacity.
Right.
I don't know if the passion is there for coaching. I also haven't done a lot of coaching, so I can't say that 100%, but I definitely want to get back in the game in some regard and, yeah, pass on some of the knowledge that was given to me and experience. And I wouldn't be where I am without one, like, especially one coach growing up. Colin Miller, he played pro.
Oh, I remember Colin Miller, sure.
Yeah, so he was our technical director of my club team. And just the insights, the soccer knowledge, my understanding of the game is purely because of him. And it helped me develop way quicker than other players. And just the technical aspect of my game, he just kept encouraging me. And I think that is what set me apart and gave me like a pathway to success at a young age, even though physically I wasn't amazing.
Sophie Schmidt joining us. Okay. I got two more questions for you. Then we're going to let you go. We really thank you for your time. And we do want to get you on halftime of a Dynamo game on TV as well. We want to do that in the future like we did in the past. I know you remember that legendary moment we did our interview together a couple years ago. Okay, so you get back to Houston and you see your husband. What happens? You jump on him, he jumps on you. What happens? You come running to him with the medal up in the air? What? Come on, it can't be just a real slow walk.
I surprised him. I told him I was going home. And
oh,
then
wow.
So I went to the house and probably a mistake because he didn't clean up and stuff. But he thought I was somebody trying to sell something to the door because it was like all the gates were locked. And I was just like, oh, my God, I can't get in. But no, it was just, yeah, the moment was amazing. And the dogs, the pups were going crazy. Just, yeah, they don't care about the gold, but they're happy to have me back. And yeah. And then I went to trivia night that night. He runs trivia night. So it was fun. Oh, I brought the medal and just.
Is your husband an actor? Or
he is actor, singer, but he cannot work in the U.S. on the visa that he's on and stuff. So he's kind of, yeah, but he's going to, yeah, he'll do stuff on he does stuff on the side to keep him busy. And so
it's
crazy to have a husband that supports you like that. I'm very thankful for it. And he follows me around.
Wonderful. You want to give us his name?
Nick Kyle.
All right. We got to give Nick a shout out too, right? Because Nick's a part of the gold medal too. Okay. Last one before I let you go. Is it hard getting focused on the ICC now coming back? I mean, I got to think it's incredibly tough to not keep thinking about this moment and reliving it and the penalties and the tournament and, you know, having that medal right next to you. Is it tough getting refocused? I'm just curious.
A little bit. I think I'm thankful that I was able to get one club game, like a league game, under my belt prior to this tournament, because that was mentally more exhausting than it was physically, I think, for me. And just to kind of be like, okay, I like need to give myself a little bit of grace in that regard. That whole tournament was like physically, yes, hard, but mentally just draining. Even though we came up on top, there's like a little bit of a lull that happens. But I don't know. I'm excited. It's weird. It's something fresh and different team, different things. And it's just like a 2-game thing. It's something you can focus in on just the next 5 days. And I think it's manageable in that regard. And it's so exciting to play here in Portland and then play against potentially a Barca or a Lyon. Like, that's phenomenal. And yeah, it's just something that's really gets me going and excited.
Good things keep happening. Well, nothing better than the gold medal right now. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck in the ICC and getting the dash into the playoffs, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's the one and only Sophie Schmidt. We're going to take a break here. It was all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Final segment of the night is brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar. They've got two locations in Houston. The new location is down in the Montrose area. It's at 907 Westheimer Road. It's right next to Velvet Tacos. You go in there, a different vibe down there. It's a bit of a chill vibe, great lighting, soft kind of lighting in there, good chill music, and of course, always the great craft cocktails and the fresh food. Spicy chicken sandwich, one of my best. Queso flautas, a lot of good salads as well. A lot of times salads as well. I'll hit a lunchtime salad. So it's a great place. And also, don't forget the other location, which is the one I hit normally, closer to my home. It is the one that's north of Washington Avenue on Shepherd. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. Great outdoor patio area. It's like a German beer garden. You can bring your dog there, the kids. Great craft cocktails, great fresh food, lots of monitors for sports fans. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. All right, speaking of sports fans, in Canada, well, the women's national team won the gold medal. Sixth round of a shootout in penalty kicks in the gold medal game. Julia Grosso, who plays her college soccer at Texas and for the Canadians national team, converted. Here's my interview with her. Julia, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
All right, listen, you must be tired of this stuff, right? All these interviews and people requesting. Are you getting tired of it?
No, I enjoy talking to people.
Yeah, that's the sense I get because, you know, you were on the Longhorn Network with us this past weekend. That was quite the wonderful thing because I think you had just flown in from Vancouver and basically came straight to the stadium. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just flew in and then I came directly to watch my team play. And so, yeah.
All right. So, you know what I took out of that interview, and I've told a lot of people this. I said, wow. I said, what a young woman of humility, and how refreshing it was to be a part of that interview with you and to hear you weaving in and to see your actions of weaving in your Longhorn teammates, your Canadian teammates, your family, your friends. I just thought it was absolutely wonderful and really is very telling about you as a person. Is that fair to say?
I think, yeah, like I always got to go back to just my roots and just like how I got here and like my family and friends and like teammates are just, they are my family. So they've helped me so much to where I am. So I owe all credit to them for sure.
And we showed the footage of, you know, Angela Kelly and the team giving you a shout out. We heard a lot of the stories with you and the gold medal. I know you've put the gold medal around a lot of people's necks. Tell me the reaction from some of the people and how it comes once you do that, because not everybody is that, liberal with sharing the actual medal with people.
Yeah. So the first reaction I get is like, wow, this is so heavy, because it's like a lot heavier than people think, because like it actually is pretty heavy. Like it weighs a lot. And like, but I like whenever like people come up to me and like just ask for a picture or something, I like to put it on them or just let them hold it, just because I think it's pretty cool to like just hold those things. It's a cool medal. So I let people just hold it. And my family, likes to have it 24/7. They're always holding it, but it's definitely a really cool thing. And the first reaction is definitely, it's very heavy for sure.
She's Julia Grosso. What an amazing soccer career already. She's only 20 years old, excited to be back with the Texas Longhorns. U15, U17, U20 Canada. Not everybody makes the final hurdle to the full national team. And I think you're in and around 30 caps, 30 plus caps now, gold medal winning penalty. This last year, though, and Angela Kelly spoke a lot to this amazing commitment you put in and to getting yourself over the finish line and getting yourself to the Olympics and ultimately into a position where you hit a game-winning penalty. Just talk to me a little bit about that, because I think those are a lot of times you're spending alone, you're training alone, you're saying no to things. I want people to understand how hard it is and the effort and sacrifice that goes into getting where you are.
Yeah. I think COVID was really hard. It was a hard year on a lot of people, and including myself. But instead of like kind of taking it as like a negative thing, I took it kind of like, what can I do to improve myself in this time? Because it's really important to just kind of take the time on yourself and just improve what you need to do alone. And so every single day I would kind of like, here at Texas, I just like remember going to Edge and I was like, I really need to put a shift into my like game and just like really work hard off the field, like mentally and just on the field physically, because mentality is a big part of the game. And I just remember kind of going in with some of my teammates who did like helped me and they trained with me. So I had some people to train with, and just with my strength coach here at Texas, we were like in the gym like three times a week and running like 2-3 times a week as well. So I think I just put a shift in and knew what I had to improve to make this team and to succeed with this team. So I just remember talking to Ange about that, and I felt like I did that. So I'm just happy I did.
Fantastic. Again, I'm going to remind our listeners, winning penalty kick in the gold medal game in Tokyo against Sweden. Julia was a sixth penalty taker. She was born in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Is there a more beautiful place than Vancouver? My time there during the Women's World Cup in 2015, I was just stunned with how gorgeous a city it was.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I've been to, like, there's been some nice places, but I guess my bias is I'm from Vancouver, but I love Vancouver so much. It's just a beautiful city to be around. There's so many things to do. And I just personally, I just love looking at mountains and there's like nice lakes and stuff. So I definitely say Vancouver's my top pick for sure.
Yeah, no question. Vancouver Whitecaps elite. Tell me about your youth career and kind of how you grew up and some of the influences of your coaches, because obviously that program has turned out a lot of very, very good Canadian women's national team players.
Yeah, my time at Whitecaps was so good. I loved the coaching staff and the girls were all like, a lot of us are playing D1 in the United States. And it's just been a really good program. They focus more on just like technical, like just being technical and just doing like little touches on the ball. So a lot of the players that come out of there are pretty technical and they're just really good. It's like a good stepping stone to get to the where you want to be with the national team. So yeah, it was a really good experience for me and it has helped me a lot for sure.
So nurturing that wonderment with the ball and all that, because, you know, I see you, you love playing with the ball at your feet. You're constantly looking for the ball at your feet. You love to make decisions. When does that really begin to blossom for you? When do you really start to feel really confident and competent with the ball at your feet? At what age?
Well, I think for me, I got more like I liked being on the ball a lot more. It was when I was around probably like 12, 13, like even when I was young, okay, probably like starting like when I probably like seven, I loved just being on the ball, like 6'7". My dad said I never really passed the ball at that age. So I feel like that was the age, but I remember being like really confident on the ball, like around like age, like around like 12, 13, when I started like getting into more serious like teams and stuff. But yeah, ever since I probably had a ball, I like the ball to my feet.
That's funny that your father says that, but, you know, I mean, I think that's natural, right? Little kids are generally a little self-centered, and I don't mean that in a bad way, and that's actually a positive for a young soccer player, I would think.
Yeah, no, exactly. He'd always tell me that.
All right. Your first call-up to Canada comes under John Herdman, your first full Canadian national team coach. Tell me a little bit about him and how he worked with you.
Yeah, no, he was amazing. He coaches now at the Canadian men's team, but he was very, very, like, motivational and just, like, an inspirational coach. And he always just got us really ready for games. And he's really, like, just focused on your touches, like, technical. Like, he wants you to play freely and bring what you bring every single day to the training field and just bring your strengths. And, I remember before every single game, I just felt so motivated to play because he's such a good speaker and, like, just got us all really fired up before games and practices. So, yeah, I wasn't really with him for too long because then he moved over to the men's team. But the time I did have with him, he was an amazing coach.
Julia, a little bit of the thought of, you know, one of your big idols was Christine Sinclair. And I think a lot of the soccer world is also very happy that you made that penalty, certainly on behalf of her because of what she's done as a pioneer for the women's game. Just take us back into that again. I know you've been asked this question over and over and over again, but just what Christine Sinclair has meant to you.
Yeah, she's meant like she's done so much for this country and like she's paved the way for so many young girls and just so many athletes around the world. And she's been an inspiration to me for so long. She still is. And just to be playing alongside her and just to get the gold with her has been like, honestly, hasn't really fully sunk in yet because it's pretty crazy to think about, but she's just such a good leader and just like everyone has such respect for her. She respects all her teammates. Like on the field, like she's just so like she has such a good vision and just always helps us out, especially the younger players for me coming in. She took me in like very like she just made me feel so comfortable and just wanted me to play like how I do. She helps the younger ones just have a lot of confidence on the ball. And yeah, so just, like, honestly, such an amazing teammate and leader, and I have so much respect for her.
Julia, let's switch gears. We're talking to Julia Grosso here of the Canadian Women's National Team, gold medal winner, six-round penalty kick, amazing moment. Let's switch gears and talk a little bit about Texas. And you know, your desire to get back this quick was exceptional and to be with your teammates. You got a road trip coming up here. You got to witness the Abilene Christian preseason match. Kind of your initial thoughts on the team and this wonderful freshman recruiting class that's come in.
No, yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah, so we head out to Florida and soon, but I'm really excited to play with my team. Like the freshman class coming in, they're all very like technical players, very good on the ball, good vision, very fast players. So I'm really, really excited to play with them. I think they all each individually bring something special to the team, which I'm really excited to play with. And yeah, so I'm excited for the next couple games coming up.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of them. Lexi Musumo, Tatiana Fung, Trittany Byers, all showing great technical ability, good play in tight spaces. I know the relationship you had with Haley Berg and some of your past teammates, Sierra Hinson. I would think that all of you skill masters love playing off each other.
Yeah, so like last year, Haley Berg was here, and me and her would always seem to find each other the ball all the time, and we'd always like do 1-2 touches. And so I'm excited to work off of like Lexi, Trinity, and like Tati and all of them, and it'll be exciting because they do the same thing. They like playing quick. They like doing like in combination play in the box. Like they like doing all those things. So I'm really excited, and they're very, very good technically. So that's also nice to play with for sure.
Do you think this will be the most technical version of a Texas team that you've played on?
Yeah, like I definitely think that we've had like great teams in the past, but I think as well there's like six, I think, I don't know how many of them came in, like I think the freshman class like 7 or 8, I think, and they all bring, and so that's a pretty big class, and so I'd probably say yeah, just because the freshman class coming in has so much talent, so yeah.
And how fast is this all gone? Because I remember you came in as a freshman, I remember talking to Angela Kelly about you, and also about Emma Regan and how wonderful you two players are. You both have obviously lived very much up to it. But does it seem like it's going fast to you?
Yeah, like it really is. It went by like with the blink of an eye. Like it just flew right by. I remember coming in as a freshman and just I feel so much older now, I guess you could say. But it's weird because like throughout the 4 years, I've been kind of coming in and out of Texas because of the national team. So it feels like I've been here, but like at the same time, I feel like I'm never here. So it's been a crazy ride for sure. But yeah, it's definitely gone by pretty fast for sure.
So are we going to see you play on Thursday in your opener?
Yes. We will see me play. I'm really excited. I wanted to come back because I wanted to play with my team and hopefully win a Big 12 championship. So,
wow, that's exciting to hear that you're going to be back. All right, what's the funniest thing that's happened now with this newfound celebrity, or most interesting thing maybe for you? Because look, you did something that's changed your life. I think here it's changed Canadian football's life. You are part of something big. Anything really funny that you want to share?
I'd probably say just like in Canada, the funniest thing that happened to me, cause I'm just like, I guess not used to this at all, but I went to the airport and, my sister was there and, we got to the parking lot and there was like this, it's called Global BC News. And they kind of went out their car and like, I was about to get into my car and they were like running after me with like a camera. And I was like, what's going on? And I was like, who's around? Like, I didn't know. It was for me, and that was just like the craziest experience of my life, because I was like, are you sure this is for me? And they're like, yes. And it was just like, it was a really funny moment, because I was like, are you sure? And they're like, and they're just like running at, because I was about to leave, and I thought that was a pretty cool experience, because that's never happened to me before, so that was pretty cool.
Well, here's the good news, Julia. I think you can outrun the paparazzi. So if it ever gets too big and too overwhelming, you just take off on a sprint. They'll never catch you.
You start sprinting away.
Yeah. That's it. Well, Julia, thank you so much. I know your schedule's been jammed. We really appreciate it. It's wonderful to get an interview like this out with you. Your humility is a wonderful trait. It's been recognized. And again, congratulations for winning the gold medal, and looking forward to seeing you at all the UT games.
No, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I'll see you soon.
That does it for Soccer Matters here tonight on ESPN 97.5. Quickie 7. We're here for Advantage BMW before we close shop tonight. Advantage BMW invites you to visit their luxury car dealership in Houston. I'm talking about Advantage BMW Midtown. Their team members are standing by. Go down there, ask for Justin, ask for Steven. They will give you a great deal, whether it's a car or an SUV. I've leased from Advantage BMW Midtown numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. I started out in the sedans, the 3.5, the 7 Series. I am now in an X5, Advantage BMW Midtown. Welcome back, Andrew Carlson. We love having you back here producing as well after all the great work from Aaron Raybould and company. And now I just want to say, get the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters, and over on Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock as well. Twitter and Instagram, Soccer Matters GD as well. As always, on behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.